I want to know everything there is to know about you.
Now I'm going to introduce me.
You must have spotted her by now. She's always there.
Don't I deserve love?
Somebody has to like me best.
Hello, and welcome to the Don't Know Her podcast. I'm Michael.
And I'm Scott.
And we are here, as always, to talk about an underappreciated actor of the silver screen. Even if, I think it's safe to say with this one in particular, it's someone that I think a lot of people will already know.
Yes.
But oddly, I still don't think she's had her moment in film, or even arguably on TV. Like, I mean, she's had loads of moments, she's iconic. But anyway, that's enough about what I think about her. You brought this person to us. Please tell us who it is and why you're championing her.
So I have brought the marvellous Aubrey Plaza. And I have brought her because we are continuing our mini-series of folks that we predict are likely to win an Oscar. We think will win an Oscar over the...
Or nominated.
I love nominated, sorry, it is just nominated. I'm being very bold, but nominated makes more sense to her. I think she's going to win. I don't know.
I can imagine enough clout.
Yeah. But yes, I think she's a good choice. I can certainly see it happening. When I watch some of her films, I can imagine it doesn't feel that far off. But you're right, they haven't necessarily had the moment I'd expect, even though I think most people enjoy her a heck of a lot because she's a very unique screen presence. I think she's wildly enjoyable to watch on the screen. Can't get enough. So why not bring her here? Tied up in shackles.
Yeah, we only had to slightly encourage her. So, Aubrey, would you like to say anything? Exactly. I'm not quite sure humour about kidnapping and assault is okay, but...
No.
Send any aggro notes to someone else. I think she's wonderful. I think an Oscar win is possible nomination. I believe, and we'll talk about it, she should already be an Oscar nominee.
Oh.
At least once. Well, mostly for one film.
Okay.
But she already is an Emmy nominee.
Yes, she is.
For The White Lotus, season 2.
Correcto.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming she was never nominated for Parks and Recreation.
She wasn't nominated for Parks and Recreation. Well, none of the larger awards. But yes, there were, I think, maybe like some smaller
The Michael Pierce Award for exactly. Playing April in... Or April, that's not her name. It is April.
It may well be April.
Oh, do you not know Parks and Rec?
I've only seen one episode.
Oh my god, Parks and Rec is a real joy of mine, which is one of the reasons I guess I have such a soft spot for her. Like her as this like disinterested young person in this office, like headed by Leslie Knope, played by Amy Poehler, who is so like aggressively positive, is a really interesting dynamic. And her character's journey through the seasons is really to grow into someone who is really successful, is an entrepreneur in a way, and it's just really a pleasure to watch. She has to get married to Chris Pratt and shit, but at the start it was cute, and then the more you were like, oh, he's maybe not for everybody, not for the liberal-minded. Or just turn into a prototype of any other attractive man. They're my thoughts on Chris Pratt. So back to Aubrey. when would you have first known who she was?
I first knew her from, what was it? Because I don't think it was any of the TV. I'm going to guess something like Life After Beth. Is that what it was called? The zombie movie, which I saw at the cinema. Try to think if there would have been anything earlier than that I would have watched before. Oh, it's maybe like Scott Pilgrim versus the World, even though she's a smaller part in that. But lots of people have smaller parts in that film. But certainly to my knowledge, I would say it was probably something like Life After Beth. Amazing. What about, yours was Parks and Recreation. Well, same.
Yeah, and I would be watching films with her in it just because she's in them.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I do that as well now. And in prepping for this one, got to watch some films I've had on a list for a while. And I'm now so glad I've seen them. So I will continue on my Aubrey Journey even after we wrap this shit up.
And we let her go.
Yes. I'll ask her for her own personal recommendations then.
She'd like that. I'd love to know what she'd recommend. I just don't feel she'd give you a straight response. I think that's half the pleasure of her as a personality.
Yes.
Which is a big part, actually, about my enjoyment of her. So, for instance, like in Ingrid Goes West, which I'm sure we'll talk about, a film where she plays a woman obsessed with another person, who in the film is played by Elizabeth Olsen, like, she turns up to the red carpet, kind of in character, but as Aubrey Plaza being obsessed with Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh,
and
that is funny.
I love that shit. I just think she's so funny. Or when she was hosting the Independent Spirit Awards, and she had, like, all her jokes, her humour. There's just something about her I just find irresistible.
Yes, she's a great time. And in so many of her films, she is irresistible. Oh, this is a good one. I'm glad we got to do Aubrey, so thank you. And I think this being a prediction of mine, I'm going to say feels more likely than your first one that we did.
Oh my God, it's not a competition.
It kind of is.
Okay. Well, we haven't set rules for anything, but sure.
Boring.
I mean, I would hope we're all winners. We'd all be winners, whether Adil Akhtar or Aubrey Plaza or whoever's coming up would be nominees.
You're absolutely,
but if you want to be selfish and say you're the winner, we can do it that way.
I do and I have.
So why don't you give us a spin in the Aubrey Plaza roller coaster that is her life.
Am I driving? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go for a spin then, shall we? So Aubrey Plaza was born on the June. On the June? She was born on the June.
On the Dune?
Yeah, gosh, perfect. Anyway, let's take that back. She was born on June 26, 1984, in Wilmington, Delaware. Her father, David, has Puerto Rican roots, whilst her mother, Bernadette...
Irish.
...is of Irish
no
and
way.
English descent. Yes.
I just forget the English bit.
It's just of Irish descent.
Bernadette, such an Irish name.
Yeah.
Bernadette Plaza, love it.
Maybe Aubrey is too. No, it's not. Plaza's parents, inspired by the soft rock band Bread, named her after their song Aubrey. So, less Ireland, more Bread.
Which is also Irish. Well, it depends. Do you mean...
It's also Irish.
Well, sorry, we're getting...
We all have Bread, darling. She was then raised in Wilmington... I've put the word plaza here, by the way.
Well, I think a plaza. Where else would a plaza come from?
No, I'm just... I don't know. Maybe there is a place called Plaza. It just doesn't read right now I see it. Anyway, she attended the Ursuline Academy.
The Ursula?
Ursuline.
Oh.
Ursuline.
I thought you meant like the Sea Witch and Little Mermaid. That would
be
some academy.
Well, that would be good. I would go to that one. It was here she started immersing herself in the performing arts. She actively participated in school plays and developed a keen interest in acting from a young age. This early exposure may be what ignited her ambition to pursue a career on the silver screen. After graduating from high school, Plaza continued her... Well, of course, that's why I put Plaza now. Am I drunk? What's going on?
You need to stop drinking wine. Or just stop drinking full stop.
It's because I put the comma before, so it was like Wilmington Plaza. But I now understand it was raised in Wilmington Plaza attended. Anyway, let's go back to where we actually were. After graduating from high school, she continued her education at the Tisch School of the Arts I think that's New York University, where she studied film. During her time there, she immersed herself in the vibrant cultural scene of New York City, honing her craft. Her journey into entertainment began with an internship at NBC and something they call as an NBC page, and I think that's a specific internship you do there, which she did for a year. She honed her comedic skills at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theatre from 2004. And was performing stand-up comedy at venues such as the Laugh Factory, and the Improv. In 2009, Plaza gained recognition for her role as April, I did have it here,
yes,
Ludgate, in the NBC sitcom Parks and Recreation. people were delighted by that now iconic deadpan delivery and sarcasm, making her a standout throughout the run of that show. From there, expanded into more film work. In the early 2010s, she was Julie in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which was a film adaptation of the graphic novels. In that same year, Plaza made a memorable guest appearance on the TV show 30 Rock. In 2011, Plaza appeared in Damsels in Distress, which is written and directed by Whit Stillman, and had a role in Portlandia, the TV sketch show. In 2012, we saw Plaza in the indie hit Safety Not Guaranteed alongside Mark Duplass. She gathered a decent amount of critical acclaim for her role here as Darius, who is a bit of a jaded intern who comes into the story. Safety Not Guaranteed. So I watched this one a couple of years ago, I think, but you watched it more recently than I. Do you want to tell us about what's going on in Safety Not Guaranteed?
So she basically is an intern in a publication that wants to do a story about Mark Duplass's character creating a time machine. And then through that, she's a bit lost and all this sort of stuff. And through her connection with this character, she kind of gets a new lease of life. There's a romantic angle.
The state of Washington does not allow the sale of firearms on the business premises of a grocer.
What about those thingies with the spiky ball on the end of the chain? Thingies, you know, and the... Do you have those?
What exactly is the intended use? Is there a pest problem or hunting?
Well, if your ad had been written properly, I may have a better idea of what I need.
My ad?
Yeah. It's pretty sloppy.
Excuse me?
You heard me. I hope you worked harder on your calibrations.
It's one of those, like, kind of post-Little Miss Sunshine American indie films that, like, have a big heart, slightly tread dark territory, and it's neither usually successful or not. It's kind of a pleasant film, and she is very lovely in it.
Yeah.
Very kind of... naturalistic.
Yes, yes. She is, I think she's quite different here than we've then maybe come to see from her in a lot of, especially film work thereafter, which I think is often more broad, perhaps, than certainly what we're getting here. But yeah, I remember being really charmed by it. I guess it feels very indie in its sensibilities, but in a good way, in a way that we maybe don't always see. It feels a very Sundance type film,
yeah,
for sure. But yeah, it's a good one. I would recommend it. And a fairly important moment, I think, in her early film career. In 2013, she voiced the character of Claire Wheeler in Pixar's Monsters University, as well as starring in the teen sex comedy The To-Do List, alongside Bill Hader's in there. Rachel Bilson of the OC fame is in there. I watched this one actually and thought it was really fun. I mean, it's very conventional in the ways of these sort of teen sex comedies, but because it's seen from a female perspective and she's a very kind of dorky particular person, I think it is quite fun to see her trying to tick off all of these sexual acts before she makes her way to university. And the means in which she tries to tick them off is amusing. So I certainly enjoyed The To-Do List, even though it's had very mixed response when it came out. But I reckon it probably stands up in a genre that is maybe otherwise cluttered with some questionable movies. Mm. Same year, we have her in The Necessary Death of Charlie Countryman and About Alex. In 2014, this is where we have her in Life After Beth, which was directed by her now husband, Jeff Baena, about a young man's recently deceased girlfriend coming back from the dead, so a sort of odd zombie romance situation, which she is very, very good in and very funny, and kind of the broad side that we've come to know from Aubrey. She also voiced Grumpy Cat in Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever, and also films such as Playing It Cool and Dirty Grandpa, which I think was her one occasion where she had a brush with the Razzies and got a nomination for that film, which has been pretty universally panned since its release. In 2016, we have Plaza starring in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates alongside Zac Efron, Anna Kendrick and Adam Devine.
And very pleasant. I find her in this sort of like American comedy trying to be kind of aware of its history of that genre and be pleasant kind of escapist, but I then very rarely remember it. I also fancy Zac Efron.
Well,
so
hey, fair enough. Plenty of reasons to watch it then.
And like Anna Kendrick. I don't want to objectify men.
No, that would be terrible. Okay, 2017, we have Plaza in The Little Hours, a comedy film based on the Decameron, which sees her as a nun in a sort of black comedy. Am I right in saying it's about a man coming to... No,
yeah,
no,
it is. Yeah. It's like a day kind of this kind of, this sexual awakening in a way. It's just like a silly... farcical thing, and someone who's grown up with a Catholic kind of upbringing, I thoroughly enjoy that sort of tone and humour and silliness, and just even seeing Aubrey Plaza and Alison Brie in habits running around.
Yes,
it's just something really enjoyable. And John C. Reilly's in it as, is he like a cardinal or something, or maybe he's just a priest, but anyway, it's a good time. Like, I'd rewatch that for sure.
Did he just smile at you?
I don't know.
Why is he smiling? Who is that?
I don't know.
Wait, who the fuck are you?
Fernanda, stop!
He's an intruder. I don't know who the fuck he is.
Let me get Mother Maria.
Fine, go.
Okay, it is, I think, the one on here that I haven't yet seen that I feel most excited to actually give a go to if I get a chance.
It might be highly offensive and I just can't remember that part, but I think it's good fun.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't feel like I've ever read anything to that effect, so let's hope it's not. And it might be an
enjoyable... Pope Francis loves it.
Well, perfect. What Pope Francis loves.
And her name's Fernanda in it.
Fernanda. Well, then all the more reason to see it, right? Okay, but this same year we have a biggie. We see Aubrey in Ingrid Goes West. For this, we see a lot of attention for Aubrey, where she's playing a, what would you say, social media obsessed... individual who has obviously got a lot of strange things going on in her life, has stalker tendencies towards others. We see an altercation with somebody at the beginning, and then she diverts her attention to someone else, and it is Elizabeth Olsen's character that she then sets her sights on, who is a kind of fair wannabe but rising in the ranks influencer type. Mm. Who takes photographs of things looking in a very sort of generic and obvious way.
But so popular for doing it.
Yes. And she weasels her way into her life, and we then enjoy the consequences of that relationship flourishing and then falling apart again. She was nominated for the Indie Spirit Award for this. I think she's absolutely amazing in Ingrid Goes West. It plays into what we know from her, but she just does it so well. It is this deadpan, kind of vacant thing that she can sometimes do. Like, you believe that she is away somewhere else, away with the fairies, whatever it might be, living in some strange kind of fantasy world where... she can approach these people and turn them into her friends, and in cases she seems to make it work. But it's weirdly believable because of how she plays it, but it is so funny and chaotic, and it's sometimes quite unnerving just because she has a sort of jagged, tense presence as well, and just someone, if they were lurking around corner behind a door, you would be frightened.
You know, I'm actually meeting a friend for lunch here. Have you seen her?
Oh yeah, Taylor Sloan. Yeah, yeah. She comes in all the time.
I know.
She was actually here like an hour ago. Yeah. You said you're meeting her for lunch, or?
Oh, God, I must have gotten the time wrong. So stupid. Do you remember what she ordered?
Yeah, she's both like aspirational to the people that she meets and you believe it. But as you say, she's absolutely frightening because she is unhinged and she can't see what's wrong with her behavior. Because it's funny when you were describing her, I just almost describe her as like a lot of people that I know that are kind of consuming social media to the point where their personality is social media.
Mm.
And I think that's I think why this film wasn't that successful and still hasn't become like a cult film, is I think it's too close to the bone of the audience that it actually is aiming at. It's a reflection on our society in a very true, but let's say unflattering way of like, because both Elizabeth Olsen, who is consumed by social media too, is like, believes she has the, you know, she's the better one and all this. But actually, when I rewatched it recently, I wouldn't have thought that's true, actually. I think they're both pretty bad people. And it's a really interesting thing to spend time with them and to think, like, you're both assholes and you both don't deserve much.
Mm.
But it's really dark. And what it doesn't do, which a lot of these dark films, like that look at, say, celebrity or fame and friendship, say, like, Death Becomes Her, like, that ends with them being friends and then being stuck together and kind of punished. This is a much more, I don't want to say ambiguous, but it's darker.
Yeah.
And I think it's a much better film for just going out there. So, I think there's amazing moments in it. I think all of the performances are good. I think it should have been just a very big cultural moment if, as a society, we were brave enough to really reflect at what we're like.
Do you think it's because of the timing that it came out? Do you think that's why?
What do you mean in terms of...
Because it came out, what did we say, 2017? I guess that was, we were very much in that place.
Oh, yes. No, I think it's that it's too close. It's the same as, like, yeah, say something like Girls or, you know, shows where, or work that just seems too, not ahead of the curve, but, like, on the curve of what's happening in society that we're not able, like, we need an adjustment before we have a film like that. So to watch, really, two women be that fucked up because of social media and then watch them play that out is a lot to watch, particularly when they're both charismatic and fun and, you know, gorgeous and like,
yeah,
it's an enjoyable film to watch, but it's dark. So that's why I say, like, if it came out now, maybe there would, but I think still the film would need to have an ending that's a bit more comforting. Because even if you think of like Promising Young Woman, which is a very, you know, difficult film in nature and content, the ending gives the audience something to be like, yes, we have a resolution. I don't think Ingrid Goldsworth's ending would leave a majority of a mainstream audience feeling like they've gone on a journey where things are going to be okay.
Mm. Yeah, it is still quite exciting. It feels like a good sort of marker capsule piece for this time and where we're at. Yeah, you're right. And other people fabulous in it, besides Aubrey and Elizabeth Olsen, O'Shea Jackson Jr. in it, I think it's very good.
Billy Magnuson.
Yeah, he's amazing. So
him and Aubrey, oh my, they should be in a romantic comedy. Like, yes, their dynamic in that film is so, like, hot but scary.
Yeah, because he is also manic and unhinged, but with a body to die for, my God.
I mean, that man is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, whenever he shows up in things, he's always brilliant. He'd actually be perfect.
Why are we doing an Aubrey Plaza episode?
And we now divert. Billy Magnuson, we're talking about you.
Game night? I mean, hello.
Yeah, he's so good.
Into the Woods?
He's always so good. Into the Woods, he's fucking great. And
Anyway,
Aubrey. Back to Aubrey. Aubrey, we like her too. But yeah,
she's a body to die for as well.
She definitely is a body to die for.
So Billy,
no. Aubrey, Ingrid Goes West.
Oscar nomination number one, that could have been.
Yeah, totally could have been. And smarter people were behind campaigns or deciding these things then, definitely, or definitely in somewhere, you know, like Globes for comedy performer or something to that effect. She was nominated for the Indie Spirit Award. So someone at least acknowledged her.
Someone watched it. No. Sorry, I'm sure loads of people watched it.
Yes. In 2017 as well, we also see her start her run in the very popular TV show Legion, which I didn't catch any of. She was in 27 episodes of it from 2019 through 2017 through 2019. And a lot of articles talking about Aubrey's performances do list it as one of her best and one of the most exciting things she's in. So I assume there's many people out there who are perhaps fans of her for the show, or the show being a key reason. So certainly worth calling out. In 2017 as well, we also have the TV show Easy. 2019 then, we have Aubrey in Child's Play, where she is she one of the leads in this one? I didn't watch Child's Play, you did. Tell us what Child's Play is.
Oh god, well this is a reboot or remake. I've never seen the original ones.
No, neither actually.
We did do somebody, was it Jean Smart? I meant to look, that's like murdered by Chucky in a really funny way in a closet.
Beth Grant maybe or some...
Beth Grant, that was it. Yeah. Anyway, that's my only engaging with it. Such a creepy doll, but not Megan. That's a weird thing to say, but I love Megan, the film, Megan's and the doll. Amazing. And actually, Aubrey Plaza does an amazing skit on what's her chops? On Megan in SNL. It's one of the few SNL skits of the last few years I've watched a lot. Do you know when Megan goes to a gay bar? And Megan has like a friend?
Oh, yes.
Anyway, it's really good to Google that. But back to Child's Play. Yes, Aubrey is the mother of a kid, and she works in a shop, and she takes one of the dolls home, and that doll is the crazy one. Uh-oh. So she's in it quite a lot. It's really gruesome. I mean, it's not my sort of movie. I thought it'd be funnier than it was. But I guess if it's your wheelhouse, maybe it's really good, the movie. I don't know. She's grand in it. Again, I was going to say naturalistic performance, but it's very kind of, it's not broad, as you might imagine.
Yeah, okay.
And Brian Tyree Henry is in it too, and he's always lovely. I love watching him on screen.
He is a marvellous man, so I'm with you there.
And hot as well. She has a lot of hot co-stars.
Mm, yeah, she sure does. All right, 2020 now. We see her go in some interesting directions. Black Bear comes up this year, so stars in this one. She's also a producer on this one. What shall we say about Black Bear without spoiling too much about it? It's about we see a woman who's renting like an Airbnb type thing, but with a couple who are living in this lakeside cabin. And we see that this couple, wife is pregnant. There is some friction there for sure. We see that the husband may have an interest in Aubrey's character, and then the wife also has an interest, but from a different angle. There's a peculiar energy there which you can never quite put your finger on. The situation escalates, and then the film does something else.
Well, yeah, it jumps into then, I guess it's safe to say, an exploration of like creativity and art and what's real and dynamics. Because I guess the best way to describe what happens after that is kind of turns itself on its head, and the dynamics between the characters change, but they're exploring the same types of things. And it is literally about filmmaking, I guess, is another thing you say.
What the fuck is going on?
Thing is going on. I don't understand what's going on with you. I've been doing like 15 takes every time, every scene, and you're only asking Blair to do three.
Are you counting takes?
I don't have to count takes. I'm in the scenes.
We're losing light, you know that? And we're losing time. We are. Why are you crying? Why?
Sorry.
I do less takes with Blair because when I tell her to do something, she actually does it.
And I think for those who are in the know, like John Cassavetes' opening night is clearly a huge inspiration for this film. I raved the first time I saw this film. I'm pretty certain I saw it in the cinema, unless it came out during COVID.
I was
like so into this movie. Rewatching it, I really was less so. I do think it's really exciting and intense, and the conflict is interesting. But because the way it like jumps into to a new setup, it kind of robs the film of the opportunity to really explore those characters. And I think that's my main thing of it, is like, this would work as a play maybe, where, you know, there's two, but even at that, I think we'd be better off if they just stuck with actually the second half of the film rather than the first half, which is a bit meandering. But having said all of that, I think Aubrey Plaza is incredible in this film.
She is really fucking good here. This was my first time watching it. I hear what you're saying. I had a really good time watching it. So maybe there is something about the formal nature of the film is interesting, and it catches you in a way, and it will make you think and makes you kind of go, and has that kind of like, oh, I see what you're doing. Like it. But I can imagine then on reflection, I'm not sure how well perhaps the women are served in it. I don't know necessarily what it's trying to say in terms of what it does to the female characters and what the arc looks like for them. But I did have a lot of fun watching it. And the main reason is she's so good. She's so good at playing a few versions of a character. We get to see her take on a lot and be mysterious in a way that she is unparalleled at, because it's a real specific energy that she brings, and it's absolutely perfect here. It's sexy, it's odd, it's kind of cunning. There's a fox-like nature to how she enters the picture, so to speak. And just really great, I don't know, just imagery, like her sat on this lakeside and stuff, I think, just looking out and how it kind of returns to this moment, the cyclical side of it, and how she works with it. I really enjoyed it. I had such a good time watching it. I thought it was like a fun ride and playful and interesting. I have some reservations that I think would come out if I was to watch again, knowing how the film pans out. But she's amazing. Christopher Abbott is also terrific. Yeah. And, you know, he's all right on the eye.
That's so attractive.
And we must... What is the other...
It is a shame, yes. The third character in this sort of a trio is underserved. I think the problem, like you're already brought up, is Christopher Abbott's character is the one to have power in all the dynamics.
Yes.
And the way that's explored is just repeating the same beat again and again and again, to me anyway. But at least it gives Aubrey Plaza the opportunity to go fully Gino Rowlands and fully, like, explore such a like disturbed sort of corner that this character has been pushed into.
Yeah. The third is played by Sarah Gadon, we should say, who is also very good here, but does feel like the kind of underserved character.
She's a punching bag essentially for the other two, which is I think that's where my real thing about the film is. But
yes, it's
but Chris Farber has not nice arms, so it's hard to
it's hard to put too much faults in the film, and it's got those arms.
Thanks, arms.
Yeah, fair enough. Would you still recommend it after watching?
Oh God, yeah. Well, come back to this at the end, but like, it's not my top choice of her films in terms of recommending, but certainly yes. Anyone that's interested in filmmaking, particularly films about acting and where that energy and that drive comes from, yeah.
Mm. Nice, okay, good. Black Bear. 2020, that's where we're at. This same year, she also starred in Best Sellers opposite Michael Caine. And a
Michael
film...
Caine, is that how you say it?
Say it again?
Michael Caine. Caine.
I think work on it. she was also in a film called Spin Me Round. This is the one where she... What, it's like a holiday set, romance novel type.
Again, I have no memory. I love Alison Brie in this random shit. But yeah, she goes on a cooking course in Italy and like lives her dream.
Sounds perfect.
And Aubrey Plaza's there. Honestly, it's an amazing movie, but my details of it are totally gone out of my head, because I just probably was like drinking, watching it. And
sounds great.
You know, Friday night, It was lovely, actually, that memory, but I can't tell you the story.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have to give it a go to and see if it's one to recommend or not. I'm thinking not, if it's slipped you so much. She also that same year gave us the Christmas gift of her presence in Claire Duvall's Happiest Season. Now, this is the lesbian rom com.
A Christmas rom com.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how funny it's. No, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I really enjoyed this film.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Did we do it when we did Mary Steenburgen? We have never done Mary.
No, we did it for Victor Garber. So we maybe don't need to touch on it.
Oh my god, but for her,
it's very important. So anyway, lesbian rom-com set at Christmas. One of the couple is played by Kristen Stewart and the other is played by
Mackenzie Davis or something.
Yes, exactly. And her character is from quite a conservative family. Her dad's a politician, and takes Kristen Stewart home to meet her family, but is not out to them, and therefore she has to kind of keep her sexuality secret.
Yeah, but let's also add, because this film is fucking nuts, so if that's not bad enough to be like, you know, stay in the closet or go back in the closet, for me, also Kristen Stewart's family died at Christmas, so she it's a particularly vulnerable time for her.
It is very.
Which is why this film, I think, is important to reflect on at the moment, because if your partner is treating you like shit that way and pushing you down, and then you meet Aubrey Plaza, who's hot as fuck, out of the closet, never saw a closet, I imagine, like literally a steam coming off her. That's how hot and sexy she is.
Yeah, her presence, wow.
And the film seems to think that it would be highly inappropriate for Kristen Stewart to get with her. It's like, no, this is the romance.
Yeah.
And no, the film is just so determined that Mackenzie Davis and Kristen Stewart should be together. It's like nobody else thinks that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how anyone watched that movie and not think Aubrey Plaza.
It's fascinating. And there's a few things to kind of unpick here, because it is interesting, right? Either the script really believed in the central romance and Aubrey Plaza wasn't going to bring the electricity that she does, because she is just like heaven in this
film. She
also
brings her to the best gay bar you can probably see on screen.
Because you got
Jinx. Isn't it like Jinx? Yeah, Jinx Monsoon.
Yes.
It looks so much fun. I want to be a lesbian. I want to be with Aubrey Plaza.
It's so true. But it's like, it is that feeling of why. So then I'm like, or was this an interesting choice? And they are wanting to just kind of defy the expectation, because when you meet Aubrey Plaza, you're like, duh, what, like, why would we go back to how things were? Like, this is the one for you. And no.
What did you mean last night when you said you could relate?
That was just a comment based on an assumption that I was making about you and Harper.
I think it's probably an accurate assumption. You don't have to talk to me about this stuff. I know it's weird, like.
So what has she told you?
That you dated in high school. That you were her first girlfriend. That's about it. Is there more?
Mm. Yeah, a little.
I'm secretly always holding out for a sequel where she realizes the fucking error she made. Or we just get Aubrey's character and her life anyway. Yeah, just seeing, because she is just so alluring and wonderful in this, so just electric. I was just so taken with her in this movie and absolutely baffled why anyone would choose anyone that's not her, period.
Yeah, like, why Mackenzie Davis ever left the town? It's so shocking. Like, I'd be gagging for Aubrey. I'm gagging for her now.
Oh.
Finally, we've gone through however many men and now we've come to appreciate Aubrey. But yeah. She has never been, I don't think, rarely has anyone been sexier.
Yes.
Like, I think of her, I think of Bill Pullman and While You Were Sleeping, like Cher and Moonstar, like there's these people in my head that are like, this is the epitome of hot people in this genre, and she is up there.
Oh, love it. I do really enjoy it. I mean, it's fairly usual fare for like Christmas, but I do, it is one that I've gone back to a couple of times.
Well, we don't
now,
have
think,
many
actually.
Queer
yeah.
Holiday movies.
Yeah, so I recommend for her 100% anyway. Just lightning bolt, sexy, we love. 2022, we get a very exciting film called Emily the Criminal, which is written and directed by John Patton Ford. For this, she did get some recognition, nominated for the Independent Spirit and Gotham Awards here. I'm thinking that when you were saying that you wish she got more attention for a certain film, I'm thinking it was this one. I only watched Emily the Criminal for the first time about a week ago, and I think it's pretty darn great. Mm. So I'm thinking this is maybe what you were thinking there. Am I right?
I have to say yes, Scott. I think she should have been Oscar nominated. Mm. I can't think of who was nominated that year, but she's incredible in this movie. This film follows someone who has had this... Well, sorry. The film starts with this woman being interviewed, and this person doing the interview like tricks her and says like, oh, I'm not going to look into, I don't have your files, but tell me you have a criminal record. And she tells him,
I drove some friends home from a concert and I ran a red light. Everybody was fine, but.
And you were intoxicated.
I was less intoxicated than my friends, but yeah, that's what happened. So.
Okay. So this is your official background check, which I have read, and according to the state, you were convicted of aggravated assault in 2016. Is that correct?
So you do have all my information?
I'm afraid we do.
She is trying to control her emotions, the situation, and she can't, and she has to exit the room, and that intensity is what drives this film. She's in debt of like, it's like 80 grand from student fees. She couldn't even finish her student her studies because of her criminal past. And she, it's just like in every frame of this movie, it's driving this such intense story, and it never gets boring. You know, she gets opportunities to get involved in crime again, to try and get herself out, because the only way she can. But she also has this desire to become an illustrator, and by everything that we see, she's quite talented. But the only way really to for her to get out is through crime. And I think it's a really incredible film, but I think she's, you know, the main reason it works so well, because you see her in very intense situations where she's trying to essentially rob very dangerous people.
Yeah.
And it just, the level of intensity, whether she's doing that or she's doing, having a conversation with Gina Gershwin, who is essentially exploiting people doing internships, which is an interesting thing, because I remember watching it at a time where I would have known, you know, famous arts organisations that would have exploited people
that way.
And then people question why theatre in the UK only has privileged people, or, and you're like, yeah, well, this is the problem.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting film that has touches a lot of bases, but really just watch it to watch one of the best performances of the last few years.
Yeah, it's electric again. She is so good, and this is why I think I feel confident. Well, they shouldn't have ignored her here, but I feel confident that there will be traction in years to come with similar roles to this, because tonally it does feel very different from things she's done, but her, again, her sort of wiry mysteriousness edge that she has really comes to life here. From the opening moments in that conversation that you describe in the film, she is just kind of dynamite, and you can't look away, and you're wondering what's going on and how she will kind of move through and navigate the situation she's in. And the film's just fascinating. It's almost, I could see shades of, what do you call them again? The Uncut Gems.
Oh yeah, the Safdie Brothers.
The Safdie Brothers. There's an air of that to it, but it's, it feels less chaotic than that, and also has resemblances to thrillers we would have seen more in the sort of noughties, maybe not so recent as now, and something that I think sadly is lacking. The arc of her character is very pleasing to watch because, without then again spoiling anything, I enjoyed going on that journey for her and wondering where it would go and enjoying the surprise and changes and moments that were more chaotic and unnerving. She is so great in this. I think as well she should have been Oscar nominated. I just pulled up because this was just, that would have been last year. So we've got obviously Michelle Yeoh winning for Everything Everywhere All at Once. We also have Cate Blanchett in Tar, Ana de Armas for Blonde, Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans, and Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie. So for me, she could have easily.
She definitely third in that list for me.
Yeah. So.
Or at least, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree, I think. I would put her
I
there.
Like them all. I've no
yeah.
I've no problem. But yeah, if only what's her name, Frances Fisher, watched Emily the Criminal, she could have got a nomination for Aubrey Plaza. Oh,
why do you think she didn't watch Emily the Criminal?
Because she's racist. That bitch only watches white British women do American accents. Sorry, I don't know what... True. When we do our Frances Fisher episode, because she's never been Oscar nominated, and she's been in two Oscar Best Picture winners, Unforgiven and Titanic.
Yes.
She plays the mother in Titanic, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, this is such an in-joke, but yes, Frances Fisher, Aubrey's coming... Emily the Criminal's coming for you. You'd be frightened. If she turned up at your door, Emily the Criminal... Yeah. Scared.
Yes, because, but it is these moments, and this is why she's so great, because of the shades that Aubrey brings to it. She finds herself in a situation where she is then becoming a criminal and being part of this sort of underground operation that's stealing things, selling them on. And she gets herself into a situation that is really scary.
Yeah.
People track her down, and you're like, shit, she's so vulnerable. But how she flips it is, I think, in other hands, wouldn't have felt as believable. But with her, you are like, oh, I could see this. You are actually...
Like this frantic, confident energy, but also no real fucks if she doesn't succeed. Yeah,
it's just driven by adrenaline. Yeah.
The other thing I actually say about this, because I think a film like this is a female character... You know, going through this, she's vulnerable, and there's a romantic story in it. I think this is one of the better examples of having a romance.
Yeah.
Because Theo Rossi, who plays it, that character is so fascinating and layered and also reveals to be vulnerable in their own way, and that becomes part of her story. And their romance is led not just in like a simple way of like, oh, you know, we need a romantic element to this, but really does reveal more to the story and the characters. And again, he's an incredibly attractive man. So if you have him in, you know, I'd be trying to have my way with him, even if you thought he might literally kill you.
Mm. Well, yes, that's all very true, actually. I didn't think so much about the romantic element, but actually why it is so effective. And I agree, I think it is super effective in the film because it serves the film rather than deterring from what's actually going on. So yeah, Emily the Criminal, definitely, definitely a recommend. I think it's terrific. She's absolutely bro. All right, the same year we see Plaza expanding her presence on TV with a role in the second season of the HBO Mike White-helmed series The White Lotus. So... In this series two, Aubrey portrays Harper. So she is a lawyer who's on holiday in Sicily at the White Lotus Hotel with her husband, Ethan, who's played by the also very attractive Will Sharp.
She needs to, like, I don't know what it is about her, but I associate She's her attractive. With her being hot herself. But oh my lord, yeah.
Yeah.
What a body, like, sorry, but that is, what a body.
Talking about bodies of the leading men in her films, yeah.
And he's also a terrific filmmaker and actor.
Yes, good. So this series saw her get a nomination for... She got an Emmy nomination, she got a Golden Globe nomination.
And she lost to Jennifer Coolidge, right?
Both times. Yes, exactly. So, hey, that's okay.
Which makes sense, yeah. Yeah,
but she is... I think she's bringing something familiar here, but in the best way, like, she does it so well. I mean, The White Lotus, especially Series 2, is just dynamite. Yeah. It's great.
They're also... This is it. Like, that's a real ensemble. And that's what's great about Aubrey Plaza as well. Like, all of these films we've talked about and TV shows, she may shine, but she shines with everyone else and because of everyone else too. Mm. Like, Megan Fahey, who she has a lot of scenes with in The White Lotus, is incredible. Like, that's the more interesting character in a way, of a very placid, you know, happy housewife.
Yeah.
I think she's a housewife anyway, but, you know, has children, does all the normal things compared to Aubrey Plaza, who thinks she's living this liberal, independent life. But who is happier? And that dynamic is fascinating, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. If anyone has.
And they both get
it.
To sleep with jokes with hot men.
Well, this is also true.
Sorry, this is a different podcast today.
It's very, I mean, there's a theme that's running throughout it, but I mean, we're sort of, we've got the hots for everyone, including our leading star here. But yeah, White Lotus, if you haven't seen it, where have you been? And get to it, basically, because I haven't met anyone who hasn't had the best time watching The White Lotus.
I have an ex who wouldn't watch it.
Oh, then I take it back.
But that's why he's an ex, I guess.
Well, sometimes we have to do these things. 2023 though brings a run-in with you and Aubrey. That makes it sound like there was an incident. She makes her stage debut.
Oh yes.
Off Broadway in the revival of John Patrick Shanley's Danny and the Deep Blue Sea.
I thought you were making a joke because I can't say you Grant, because she's also in that Operation Lift Me.
You still can't.
Or whatever it's called. So yes, I saw Aubrey Plaza on stage in Danny and the...
Deep Blue Sea.
And the Deep Blue Sea. And I was in New York. And my memory of this is, again, Christopher Abbott has nice arms. And the performance... It's not a very good play.
Okay.
And the performances weren't very good. And you could tell... That you would know. Like, I mean, I'm not used to American audiences in theatre, but they all stood up to applaud, and like, just for a few seconds, and then straight away were like, God, that was shit.
Oh, really?
Well, they didn't say shit, but it was pretty, pretty poor reception. It's very short, but yeah, the accent, I was obsessed. It was full on, like, New York kind of, and she's screaming, geez. What are you doing over there, Danny? Sorry, that accent is not what she sounded like. Also, probably not far off.
My God.
Anyway, I had the best time because I want something to... Mediocre is the most boring thing you could be. So this was certainly not mediocre.
Okay,
it
perfect.
Was bad.
Well, good.
And yeah, Chris Rabber had his arms out the whole time, so...
Well, hey, then definitely worth the price of admission. But then this is also when she was living in...
Paddy LuPone's house. Yeah. I think that, you know, on Instagram actually today or the other day, she was sharing, like, Paddy LuPone's going on tour, and Aubrey Plaza reshared it on her Instagram.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is
so
I just love this friendship.
Yeah, what the heck is going on? I'm obsessed. To be a fly on the wall, my goodness, I would have absolutely loved it. Honey, I'm home. Like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza trying to be quiet, not wanting Paddy's attention.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's creeping around to not wake her. You up?
Yeah. Oh, hello. Now, to be honest, I think they both would be like that.
Yeah, bouncing off the walls.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. I would love it. And then that's sort of bringing us up to dates.
Wait. You have still... We've not talked, and we'll talk very briefly, but I think it's interesting to talk about Operation...
Fortune,
or whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Of course.
Only because she's trying really hard to be in an action film. And isn't it Guy Ritchie?
It is a Guy Ritchie, yeah.
So I did watch this. It's not very good. And she's not great in it. It's very kind of trying to be James Bond meets, like, almost Guardians of the Galaxy in a way, because of, like, a mixture of people working together. But she's all right. But it's a real shame because she deserves a mainstream sort of big movie. I mean, like, commercial...
Yeah.
Enterprise. I don't know what I'm saying. Just give her something. She could have been a great Madame Web.
She could. Well, hey, we'd love Dakota Johnson too. And
oh, I didn't mean to take over that part. I just felt like a villain in the sequel, which we'll never get.
Perfect. Yeah, that ain't happening. Okay, good. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I neglected the Guy Ritchie. It's also worth pointing out she featured in an episode of The Simpsons. Obviously, voice acting. She doesn't just pop up in it.
That would be so funny if she was the only human to ever be in The Simpsons.
She returns to voice her Scott Pilgrim role in the Netflix spin-off animated show. There's also a Monsters, Inc. spin-off TV show where she is revoicing her character from there called Monsters at Work. But yes, what have we got upcoming? And I think some of this sounds very exciting indeed. She is going to be in Francis Ford Coppola's very intriguing-sounding Megalopolis.
And the pictures of her on set. Oh, wow.
I haven't seen them.
Really glam. Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay, well, maybe this is the Oscar potential. I mean, we might be in ropey terrain there, but I hope it's something as exciting and odd as it sounds.
Well, just to be in his... He's not made a movie in...
Yeah, quite a few
a long
years.
Time.
Yeah, so very excited for that. We've got another, because Ethan Coen's just got a film coming out in the UK here, which is going to be part of a lesbian road trip.
Yeah, the trailer
trilogy.
Was on the other day.
Yeah.
With Margaret Qualley.
Exactly. And there is going to be one called Honey Don't, which she's going to be in. And then there is the Agatha series that's coming to Disney Plus, the Catherine Han character who was very popular in the WandaVision. So
oh my god, she's
Aubrey
in
Plans
that.
Is going to be in that as well.
Isn't Catherine O'Hara, like someone else pretty cool
oh,
in it too?
I hope so. There's so much potential there to have fun. So I hope they embrace it and do. But there's potential there. But I mean, I'm confident this Oscar nomination's going to happen. But for what? I wonder. Do you have any ideas about what you would like to see in the future? Maybe things that could bring
yes.
that nomination?
Well, firstly, she does have this Sundance film called My Old Ass or something.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Which
yes,
I'm
yes,
also
yes.
very excited about. I don't know if that will bring an Oscar. So I'm just going on a really wild thing. But we were talking... I mean, I don't like some of my favourite films being remade. But like a rom-com... in the vein of something that's already brought someone an Oscar would be fun. So like Moonstruck-esque.
Yeah.
Mainly because I am going to cast her in Billy Magnuson.
Magnuson,
so close. I don't know, he'd be perfect in the
yeah,
role.
Yeah,
like
I'm
here.
Sold on this.
And maybe not obviously beat by beat Moonstruck, but something in that vein of her, like an old school but feeling but a contemporary... set film that does relate to somebody living in New York at this time, and I don't know, this person comes in like they've given up on life or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They have a little grey streak and then they go and get their hair dyed and it's fully black. They go to the opera. I'm basically just describing
Winston.
They slap each other. Well, she just slaps him. Sorry, slapping each other sounds weird. I don't know. That's what I would like to see her. Like, I don't want her, because it'd be easy to say something like, I'm trying to think of like Cleopatra or some sort of like biopic where she, Patti LuPone, oh my God. Actually, her playing Patti LuPone when she got the news that she won't be in the transfer for Sunset Boulevard, that Glenn Close will take over the role. That's
the
what
one.
I want. But, you know, I don't want to see her having to do a, I hate to say it, like a Coleman Domingo or whatever Bradley Cooper's doing with Maestro to get recognition.
Yeah.
I don't want her to look like Helen Mirren and Golda to be Oscar nominated.
That
I still don't understand
yeah,
how that ever happened.
Fucking hell, some of these choices. Fascinating. Yes. Oh, I'm with you. Okay, so the names I'm sort of thinking of are quite obvious. But I am thinking of that. I wanted to have that Oscar, but I wanted to work with filmmakers who I think would utilise her very well, but maybe also challenge her to go in a different direction. And I can't help but think of two of the best, and that's Todd Haynes. And
Whoa.
Maybe embracing the energies of something that is more classic, like a Carol, or something that is tonally wild, like Aubrey can be, like a May-December situation.
Ooh.
I could see... so much fun to be had in a thriller-esque type tale with those two together. Or a sweepy romantic thing. I'd be fascinated. I also imagine her and Greta Gerwig would be a fabulous combo. And I know they have worked together acting in the Whit Stillman film, but I think directing, it just feels like the right pairing. And maybe, well, I would love it to be a lead role, of course, but I could imagine her taking on amazing supporting roles in, like, a Greta Gerwig film. And that could be something, I maybe would like it, something that is more Lady Bird than Barbie, but I could imagine her for sure in something like a Barbie. But maybe something like Little Women would be fascinating. There's so many things.
I'm now recasting those films with Aubrey Plaza. And she'd be good in lots of those parts.
Yeah.
But unconventional, I'd say. Probably. Yeah. Like, obviously, Little Women, you know, she's much older than those. But
yeah.
She could.
Yeah. But she would. It's interesting maybe then thinking of a flipping Greta Gerwig. Not that she has to, but like...
I don't know why I thought that very literal. I was like, shall we flip
Greta Gerwig? Do we grab her by the foot?
I was like, excuse me.
But flipping a Greta role, I like, for example, could see Aubrey being amazing in 20th Century Women.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well... This is it, like, there's, like, Miranda July,
yeah,
like, when you start, like, sorry, now this is, like, a tangent of things, but there's so many, I basically think she's a gift to many independent-minded American filmmakers, even if, like, Greta Gerwig is now very mainstream, or kind of always was, but, yes, I agree, I mean, I there's certain people that probably wouldn't utilize it so much, but she, you're right, like, I do think that Greta Gerwig or... why can't I think of the Mike, what's his name, Mike, who did 20th Century Women, I just thought of his
Mike
partner,
Mills.
Yeah, Mike Mills, just jumped to Miranda July, Noah Baumbach, like, there's
a lot of,
and I'm just thinking a couple of,
but there's so,
if you're not married to a filmmaker, I won't consider you,
but I think there's something about her, like, she is a chameleon and could slot into so many, like, we could go on and on and on, and everything would be exciting, because I think her presence alone is exciting and can change the dynamic of something and make it more interesting and alive.
Yeah.
When placed in the
right. Do you know who would have written an amazing role for them if they weren't blacklisted, basically, and deservedly so, really, is Woody Allen.
Yeah, yeah. It's who I
Woody
thought
Allen
was
is a very obvious person.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine her in a Penelope Cruz-esque role, or Judy Davis, or
totally.
Diane Wiest. Oh my! Yeah. Let's just do Bullets Over Broadway, but with Aubrey Plaza. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, let's do Hannah and Her Sisters. She'd be perfect.
Oh my God!
Any of those, all of those
parts. Yeah. Like, and again, you can do it all like Blue Jasmine. You can imagine her in that.
Oh my God!
Sort of,
yeah.
Like, there's just.
I can see you, place. Erica. She'd get deliver that line. Absolutely insanely. Actually, now we're just getting we're just going to cast her in everything. Yeah. But any Cate Blanchett film,
yeah, it does.
A Talented Mr. Ripley is all of the parts.
Oh my god, all of them. Oh my god, a one woman Talented Mr. Ripley, please.
Well, we have fucking Sarah Snook doing one woman.
Yes, take
Oscar
it to the
Wilde.
West End. Let's go. Oh my god, that's so exciting.
Okay, so she'll be an Oscar nominated a lot if she did all the roles we're talking about.
Yeah. There's going to be a year where she is nominated every place she can.
It'll
be
like, what was the name of that English, the guy from Moulin Rouge, and he was the only person nominated for Best Actor in a Musical, but he still could have lost because he needed a certain amount of percentage to win. And I was like, imagine Aaron. I don't know his name.
Oh, it's Tvet.
No. See, we do film. I should know theater.
Yeah.
Aaron Tvet. Yeah. Tvet. We got there. Anyway, he won the Tony. But imagine if she was the only one nominated. But for Blue Jasmine, Carol, Tar, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I would rather
poor
nobody.
Thing.
Oh gosh, so much of these. Yeah, put her in everything, anything,
all at once.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. Oh,
what a pleasure.
Yeah, it has been a pleasure. I really, really love her, and I'm very excited, and I want to see all the things. I feel like she is going to get only more exciting, and also I think with age we'll get really exciting stuff from her too, so there's lots to be excited about, but thank you for joining me on the Aubrey adventure. If you were to recommend one of these films...
Ingrid goes west.
Ingrid goes west.
You and then Emily the criminal. They're very close together. What about you?
I think Emily the criminal, if I'm to pick one. But yeah, probably otherwise Ingrid goes west. And Black Bear for something interesting. But yeah, the other two are more exciting and fun in very different ways for me. Good ones. Amazing. All right. Well, if people want to get in touch with us, is that something we'll allow?
No. yes, and you can find us on Instagram and X at don'tknowher_pod. And you can send us an email at don'tknowherpod@gmail.com. And yeah, please do rate, review us. It really helps people find us. And let us know if there's anyone you'd like us to focus on. And yeah, thank you as always for listening.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, if there's anyone you think will be nominated for an Oscar, I would be fascinated to hear that too.
Who hasn't? Because if we hear Kate Winslet or Meryl Streep, we know.
Not interested in that.
Or Glenn Close, we know. We know that.
Give up!
She'll get her honorary soon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But well, touch wood. Honestly, if she died before that.
Okay, touch wood.
Because what if she died before this goes out?
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. What an awful thing to say.
Well, until next time, Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And wherever you are listening, thank you so much. And have a lovely day.
Bye.
Goodbye.